Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk To Podcast, hosted by author Sharnell Williams. Are you ready to spend some time with Sharnell and her special guest? Join our live conversation every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, here's your host, Sharnell Williams.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing this evening? How everybody doing? Welcome to the Author Sharnell Williams Show, born and raised in North New Jersey. You know, I'm an author. For those who are listening for the first time, I'm an author, a writer, a publisher. As y'all see, I own my own podcast. And I do so many. And my goal on this earth and my goal is just to help people. I want to help people publish a book. I want to help people like tell their stories in so many ways. That's why I got this platform and other platforms to help people tell their stories. Tell their stories to the world. Yes, yes, yes. Like I said, I'm born and raised in North New Jersey. I have several books out. I have my own publishing company called Sharshay Publishing Company. And if you want to write your book, I'm the person to come to. My prices are very, very affordable. Very, very affordable. You know, I help y'all walk y'all through the process. I get y'all books on different platforms. And plus, guess what, y'all? Depends on what package y'all pick. Y'all can be a guest on my Podhost Coast. Yes, it's actually podcast that I'm hosting right now called Let's Talk To. Y'all can be a co-host. So think about turning your books into a story, and I'm here for you, Sharshay Publishing. You can email me, go on my own Facebook page, Sharnell Williams. I'm just waiting for my guest to come in. And I know the last name is White, Miss White. I don't want to, like, form y'all and say her name wrong because I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah, I know I'm not good with names. Yeah, I know I'm not good with pronouncing names. So I just don't want to pronounce the name and say the wrong name. So I'm just going to wait till she's coming on. I see she's trying to get on. Matter of fact, I see her on now, yeah. But let me just let y'all know we're going to get right into it. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. Is this your first time or not, who's been with me from the get-go? I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to get this show started, and I hope y'all enjoy yourself. 1 second. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Jodea. Hello.
Hi.
This is Jodea.
Hi. How
can you
doing?
Hear me?
I wanted to say, yes, I can hear you. Could you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I wanted to say your name wrong. I don't know if you caught because I was like, I don't want to say your name wrong. So I will wait till she come on and let her tell y'all a little bit about herself. Thank you for joining. This is your first time on Let's Talk To Podcast, and I really welcome you. But now we have to tell the audience a little bit about Jodea. That's what you say your name. How you pronounce it again?
Jodea with a D. Jodea.
Jodea. Okay, and I see the D right in front of my face. Jodea. Okay, could you tell my audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes, well, I'm a cross-genre writer of what I call cautionary tales. It's fiction that's somewhat loosely based in fact, with some drama added, with a little bit of a twist, and it's always something to be learned in the end with my book. I've been writing since 2008. My first book was Sunday Christians, and I'm now working on my fourth book, which is a horror story. My other two were crime and a mystery thriller was my most recent.
Oh, okay. Congratulations on all the books that you put out and that you are working
on. Thank
you. And I just love the thriller. I just love, you know, writing thrillers. What made you want to do that type of genre, thriller, mystery?
Well, I love a good whodunit. I love murder mysteries. I love trying to, I love, you know, the element of surprise. Just, you know, just following along together. I love solving puzzles. I love solving issues. So mm-hmm. I just decided to put my experiences on paper to immortalize, I guess, my thoughts.
Oh, okay. Now, you said you've been writing, I guess your first book you published was in 2008. Now,
yeah,
have
that
you been...
was,
you finished.
No, I said, and that was Sunday Christian.
Okay, Sunday's Christian
in
2008. Now, have you been writing a long time before this, or you just...
Actually, no. It wasn't really something I ventured into. I was just going through a hard time. I was going through a low time, and they say the best creativity comes out of desperation. So I was told to, you know, just start writing. Just write about anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just thought up an old scenario that happened and then added a twist, and then after a while, the book started writing itself.
Hmm. Yeah, that's how it usually happens. That's how it usually happens. The first book you published in 2008. Now, let me ask you a question about publishing. Did you go to a publishing company, or you did it your own, self-published?
I did it all myself because I used to work at the Library of Congress in the copyright office, and I've seen plenty of books come through. And books by us that I kind of didn't like was the whole, when you went back in the 90s, I'm showing my age here, they had, like, with Black Books, the little cartoon cover. Like, because we're not a joke. I mean, these are real books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't into that. I saw one friend of mine had self-published, and his book was great. And then he did get picked up. And then when I reread what they put out, I'm like, these aren't his words. We don't talk like that. Like, and it just kind of soured me. And so I just was like, instead of trying to appeal to someone's senses at a big publishing house that has no knowledge of the Black experience, really, at the big five publishing houses, I'd rather do it myself, my way, where I can have the last word on what I want my covers to look like, what I want my book covers to express. I can format, I can do these things all for myself, and if it doesn't work, I only have myself to blame. I'm not going to be out time and money because of somebody else's idea of what they thought I wanted or my people want.
And you know what? That really hit home with me because when I first started writing, I don't know if you know, you did your homework for me, but my son passed away from leukemia at the age of 12. When I went to a publishing company, they wanted me to change about, like, you know, everybody talks different. You're from the hood, like I'm from the hood, and I'm glad and proudly to say I'm from the hood. You know, you talk. You understand what I'm saying?
We talk a certain way,
Right. And they wanted to change my wordings around. But if I'm writing from my heart, how could you change somebody's words around and be writing from his heart? You understand what I'm saying? And then I was told from one editor, no, Shana, you can't talk like you write. You can't talk like you write. You have to write, you know, share your story, because this book's going out to college students. It's going out to this person's CEO, to the company. I was like, well, most college students don't even know how to read themselves. So why should I write just to, you understand what I'm saying?
I understand as far as making it palatable to certain audiences, but like you said, we have a certain dialect in the hood, right. And I don't know many people from the hood that speak the King's English. You know, and it's not going to sound right. And when it doesn't sound right, it's not authentic. And if it's not authentic, it's not going to sell.
Right. It's not like, and I know, like, there's a lot of people, you know, who write don't even live in the hood. Because I met this writer. She was writing about urban, but don't know, ain't had the knowledge about urban life. You understand what I'm saying? And I understand all this stuff.
Right.
I understand it. But the point is, don't ask me questions about the hood because I'm from there, so you can write your book and hype your book up. You understand what I'm saying?
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
So with my writing, when I first got my went through a publishing company with my first book of my son, but What Do My Mother Do Is Share Their Own Story, they said that I had to change my writing because the way I talk is the way I write, and they didn't like that, and it ain't going to be approved in the society. But I told them, I can't change my heart and how I feel, and I'm not doing that for nobody. So when they rearranged my stuff, it wasn't even my story, like how I wrote it, you know? So seeing that, I still had my manuscript of how I wrote it. I wanted to keep what my voice said, not what they voice said. I wanted my voice to be heard. And they took that voice and they wanted to charge me an extra $2,500 to re-edit it. You understand what I'm saying? An extra $2,500 to re-edit my work. So, and they kept telling me, it ain't going to sell. You got to do it. It's a lot of college and CEO people out here, and they don't know the type of language that you speak. I said, because my book target an audience. It ain't how you write the book. It's how you pronounce the book and how you send a book out. You understand what I'm saying? Every book is not for everybody.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So, hey, if you don't like it, the next book will like it. I'm not going to change my story and when it's coming from your heart. How could you do that? How could you change a true story and to make it so your book can sell? But I just want to get my story out there and get my story out there so people can hear. So as it goes on, I wrote several other books. I left that company alone. Everybody told me how I can go about, you know, getting my rights back and all that stuff. I did all that. But then I said, hey, they're not for black people. You understand what I'm saying? They're not for us colored people.
Right.
I said, I need to start my own publishing company. You know, I know the talent. I know how to read. What we call it? What's the word? It's right on the tip of my tongue. The language. I forgot. I can't pronounce the language now. But I know the language. I know when somebody's saying D, they mean the. I know that. This spell D-I-S.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? That's because I'm from here, so I know. So I said, I'm going to start my own publishing company, and I'm going to do, what you call that? I'm going to do
a payment plan.
Everybody went off on me. They're like, no, why would you do that? You in business. I said, because I'm in business to help my people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm in business to help my people. To get their story out. They shouldn't have to choose whether it be they rent or have to pay me $5,000 to do their story and write a book. I mean, do their book for them. No. That's why I made a payment plan. I believe in layaway right up. I'm a layaway queen. You understand what I'm saying? So I live for paycheck to paycheck.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a good thing. I mean, and you have good chunks, so if somewhere along the process you guys need to part ways, it's no harm, no foul.
Right.
You got paid for the time you spent working on it, and they, you know, paid for what they wanted until they didn't want it anymore. So, you know, it's not like you're parting ways empty-handed.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I can just say for everybody, like, so many people is getting ripped off. Now, I just met this lady on Instagram. Like, she got ripped off big time. You understand what I'm saying? Like $5,000 and she turns around, pays another $3,000. She ain't know the company. She ain't doing research. She was just so excited to get her workout. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to do the research of people. You have to. That's a must. And that's what I tell everybody. You have to do the research of everybody. But and that's good that you're doing your own thing. That's excellent.
Right.
You know how to format
and
do
I mean,
edit it. You know, hats off to you.
Yeah.
I take my hat off to you.
Yeah, and I mean, I do help people, but before I do,
yeah.
I vet them as well. Because my first question is, why are you writing a book? Is this a bucket list type
mm-hmm.
thing? Is this a new career? Or is it, oh, I just want to see my name in print? What are we doing here? Because if you're trying to do the long haul, like you want to make this a career for you, it's going to be a lot of work, and you have to be able to put in
mm.
that work. I'm not going to – and I tell people, because even in my clips that I put on, what I call my pub tips that I put up, I tell people, I don't – I'm not a – I use Amazon for what it's worth.
Right.
I use Amazon for the e-books. They have an awesome
and not
cutting you off.
But mm-hmm. the key word, y'all listening to her, she uses Amazon. Amazon don't use her. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the key word. You
right.
use Amazon.
And,
so.
And it's like I use it for that. But my print
right.
paperwork, no. That
mm-hmm.
goes strictly through. I have a relationship with a printing company.
Mm-hmm.
I found
right.
them after doing my research on different
mm-hmm.
companies. Their pricing is up front. They're nice. What I like about
mm-hmm.
them is we go step by step. They like, look, this is what you sent us. This is what you said
mm-hmm.
you want. So far, this is what we have. Is this right? Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, that's cool.
Okay, we see you got this. May we recommend this? This is how much the charge is going to be per book. That's going to be additional to the additional price that we talk about. What you get is what you okayed. So it's no mistakes,
right.
as I've been seeing people yeah. get when they go through
mm-hmm.
places. You know, I would say
mm-hmm.
other print-by-demand companies, shall I say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen places that, you know, just do people dirty because it's like they're not – they're
yeah.
a big warehouse. They're a company. They're not people that like that I work with that have pride in their work. They take time with their work. My books are individually wrapped when I get them delivered. You know,
mm-hmm.
when I've seen people go through these big companies and their books look like somebody just wiped them off of a counter and threw them in a box, barcode printed on the front in the middle of the cover, the cover offline, the colors wrong, and when they
mm-hmm.
call to express their discrepancies, oh, well, this is what it is. I mean, we can
mm-hmm.
give you half of your money back because, no,
mm-hmm.
no. But
mm-hmm.
you have to be willing to put that money up front to get
right.
that book in
yes,
your hand.
Yes,
and might I
yes.
always give you this caveat, it may be a little bit extra, but always
mm-hmm.
pay for a printed proof. Before
mm-hmm.
you okay anything, no
yeah.
matter, it might be $50, it might be $75, but always, always, always
mm-hmm.
purchase a printed proof before
mm-hmm.
you okay your work.
Right. And that's
that
what
way
you have to do.
You'll know. Right. I mean, because I've gone through times where, okay, the printing, it looked good on computer. The layout is awesome.
Yeah.
But when I get the printed book, okay, the color didn't come out as light as I thought it would. Can we go
right.
back and lighten this up? Like, yeah, it kind of didn't come out like that. I've had a relationship with them 2008. So they pretty much know when I got a book coming through, they like, hey, what's going on? Look,
mm-hmm.
I see what you're doing here. May
mm-hmm.
we recommend this? And it'll add, it's going to be another 25 cents per book. Okay, that'll work. And I stuck with them because when people see my book or they pull it out, they like, ooh, this book looks, who did your book? I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I took the recommendations, and people go through these print-by-demand companies because they don't want to put that money out on the forefront. And I tell people when they come to me, number one, when they come to me, I'm going to be honest, you can go other places, but if you really about self-publishing, it's going to take you about $1,200 to get your book on, in your hand on the shelf the way you want it. Because, you know, because you got these presses out here to say, oh, we can do all of that for $500. Impossible.
Impossible.
Unless it's a catch. It's impossible. Because when by the time you get to the ISBN number and you need separate numbers for each form of your book and your copyright, that's about $300-$400 right there.
Yeah. And people
When I first started
my publishing company, I did charge like $300 or $400 when I first came out, because you know I wanted to help people. I was like pumping iron in for the money. I just want to help people, let them get their stories out. But then when I came out pocket, I started had to add my money to it. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I had to pay the editor, I had to pay the book designer, I had to pay the formatter. I was like, oh, okay, now I gotta uplift my prices. You know, I was like, I gotta uplift my prices, but the point is it's still cheap. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. Like these publishing companies, like the lady asked me the other day, well, why do I pay you? I said, I thought publishing companies, they pay you, like, she called it something. I forgot what she called it. I was like, oh, no.
They give
you
an advance.
Yeah, advance. She said a lot of companies.
See,
I said, jeez.
Oh, no,
they
I was saying a lot of companies. Yes, but you have that. They give you that advance because I tell people that advance, they advance you that money, that's not even close to what they actually intend on making off of you. And what is happening when they pick you up and give you this money, they're handling all of the marketing, promotion, printing, all of that, your interviews, your tours, they're handling all of that. That's why when you get into self-publishing, it's going to be a minute before you get on because you're paying for all of that up front. You're paying for everything up front that Random House will pay if they pick you up front. But in the end, if you walk away, Random House going to keep your work. Random House going to do what they want to do with it. They're going to print it the way they want.
Right. You don't have
and
no say-so.
And with me, I like this.
No say-so.
Right. I mean, you have say-so, but to a point.
Just a little bit.
You see
just
what I'm saying?
Bit. Because once they give you that money, don't think because they give you $10,000 to start off front with, that ain't it. You're going to be older now. You understand what I'm saying? You're going old.
Yeah.
That's just the money to get you started and make you feel happy. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And like you said,
I'm
there,
just
what
using
about the
them
course?
As an example.
Yeah.
And I'm just using Random House as an example. I'm not saying this is what they actually do for all of, the trolls
out there.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying that typically that's why self-publishing is so expensive because everything that the Big Five does, they have it prepaid. They have it in-house. So what you're doing is putting that front money out front. I tell people $1,200 will get you a good start.
Right.
It'll get you
That's
a good
true.
Start. But That's it's
true.
A process
just,
to it.
Yeah.
It's a
Everything
process.
Is a process.
Right. Everybody, especially promotion and getting yourself seen because everybody doesn't have, at Tyler Perry Studios. Everybody don't have a cousin that's a second assistant to Oprah Winfrey's hairstylist. You know,
right,
that can get you in somewhere that, you know, it's just one of those things.
Right.
It's going to take a minute. You know,
if you keep on your grind,
get involved in community services. Anything to get your name out there, you'll start to gain a following. I mean,
right.
It was so funny because when I wrote Sunday Christians, I just knew I had literary gold. I mean, I just knew I had wrote the second coming. You know, I'm like, I'm writing right up there. Okay, it's the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, and then Sunday Christians by Joe Deus. This is just going to change the world. It was not like that.
Right.
And so
right.
I had, like, you know, nobody would call me back. Nobody would answer an email. Nobody would say hi, whatever. And then by the time I got through this third book, okay, somebody told me, believe it or not, in an interview, she was like, oh, you know, people don't really start getting on with you until about your third book, because that lets people know that you're really serious about what you're doing. You're not a fly-by-nighter. What she said is starting to resonate because I get responses to my emails now. I get callbacks. I get responses. I get questions. I get people coming at me wanting to work with me, wanting to do things with me, wanting to do things for me. So it's a process. It is a process. Right. And the biggest thing that I've learned is getting out of your feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's book is the best book that's ever been written. And when it comes to editing, and like you said previously, you need to have an editor that understands the dialect from where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of us in the literary world, so we have a little more to choose from. COVID hit, readership is up 16% because we're spending more time at home in front of computers. We're having more screen time, more FaceTime, so people are reading more. So that means more of us are reading. So with more of us reading, how about sharing positive stories about us or sharing our troubles, letting us know that, you know, we're at a point where we can talk about it. We can talk about what's going on in our community amongst ourselves. We're no longer at a point where, you know, you better not tell nobody but God, you know.
Right.
And we need more characters and people that look like us, that represent us in a positive light that we can read about. I have nothing against urban literature. It's a genre by itself. It's strong. It's been going great. But that's just not me.
Right.
I love fiction. I want something. I want you to learn something when I'm done. Yes, I might add a little bit of drama to it. I might add a little twist for entertainment purposes because we read, we get that escape. We like drama.
Right.
We like getting the tea.
Mm-hmm.
We like all of that. You know, I can tell that when you read Facebook comments because you'll read one comment and be like, oh, what happened? Let me scroll back 200 more comments to get to the beginning of what's going on here. So we're reading. And so, you know, we know readership is up. We like that drama. We like that tea. And we can have it. And we can get our quick fix, our quick escape. We love drama. We just don't like our own.
Right.
So let's read about somebody else's. And that's the point where I come from. I give you that escape. But at the end of the book, you're going to learn something. You're going to be able to relate to my character. Somewhere in all of my books, somebody like, ooh, that's me. Or, ooh, I know somebody that happened to. Oh, wow. So it'll help you in a therapeutic sense.
Now,
you
do you have a favorite book so far that you published?
My favorite, my favorite is actually, oh, wow. My favorite is Careful What You Pray For. Sort of like that's my middle child.
So let the audience know, get the title of your book, because I don't even know all the titles of your book. Could you let them just say the titles?
Okay.
Of your book?
Sure. My first book is Sunday Christians. That's a Christian romantic suspense. My second book was Careful What You Pray For, P-R-E-Y. That is a crime, a mystery crime. And then Best Laid Plan is my newest one, and that is a mystery thriller.
Have you ever seen an anthology?
No, I haven't, but I think because I've had a lot of people coming to me asking for a Sunday Christians part two.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to think. I'm like, I thought I rounded everything up, but they was like, well, yeah, but I think it should be a part two. So slowly but surely I'm working. Yeah, because I don't like to leave people hanging because I've seen a lot of anthologies and some of them are good. I think some of them are good, but some of them that I've read on through the e-books, it seems like they're cutting the book off just for the sake of having another one, and it's being cut off in weird places. Like, I've seen it's like 40 pages. It's like this was really one book, but you're just trying to make it an anthology because you don't have any new material. Like, this really could have been one book.
Oh, okay. So I do a lot of anthologies. You know, I think I did. I think I'm on my 10th one, if I'm not mistaken. I lost count. But I wanted to write a thriller, a mystery, and a suspense, because I love lifetime. So I wanted, but I was going to write it by myself. But then I was like, I don't want to write all that, because I'm so used to doing anthology short stories now. So I was like, I'm going to get some people with me to write their chapter, and we can just put it together into one book. So I think I got the thriller one I got is called A Mother's Day Nightmare. That one did good. Now I'm starting my second one, because everybody was like, I did leave a cliffhanger because I knew I was going to continue. I didn't tell all the authors that we was going to continue and writing a part two. But I knew I wanted it because everybody, I was getting so much compliments about it. So I was like, yeah, we're going to do a part two now. So now I'm working on our part two. But the point is just that I just love doing anthologies now. And with the prospect of doing an anthology, that to me, you don't have to write so many word counts. I only say 2,500 to 5,000 word counts. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing about me. Steady writing them long, 45,000 words and stuff like that. So I just get everybody a little, you know, little short thing, and you just do what you gotta do. But anthologies is good, like, cause you meet new authors and stuff, like authors you ain't knew. Yeah, I started talking and networking and stuff. So to me, it's a good thing because it's like networking to me. Now let me ask you this question. Doing your book, as you said, you did three, you're working on a fourth one. Did you ever, honestly, writer's block? Did you ever have writer blocks with any of your own books?
Sometimes I do, and sometimes I think everybody does. I think you need to walk away from it.
Yes, you do.
Just give yourself a break because sometimes if you try too hard, you'll get in your own way. Don't try to force it because when you develop your characters, it's going to get to a point where your characters start to write the story for themselves. They'll take on a personality of their own because even like I said, a lot of people, Sunday Christians was never meant to be a Christian book. But the more people that read, the pastor come up to me at a book fair and was like, yeah, where's that Christian book you wrote? And I'm like, well, what Christian book you talking about? They were like, you know, it's about the Sunday Christians. I'm like, oh, that's not a Christian book. And she was like, why not? And I'm like, because that's not what I chose. And she was like, but it can be a Christian book. Mm. And I was like, well, now that you look at it, yeah. She was like, it's about the church, but it's not about the first family or the first lady or anything like that. It's more so what's going on in this congregation. Because everybody want to talk about what a deacon doing this and the first lady doing this or the head pastor doing this. Okay, that's what makes Sunday Christians different. Because this is the reverse. We're talking about the congregation.
So it's
always, you know, I'm doing something different and developing the characters and the book taking on a life of its own. I get to a point where I'm just writing what they tell me to write. I don't necessarily say I don't get writer's block. I have to take breaks and rein it in. Sometimes I do, but sometimes they get out of control and I got to kind of rein them in because, okay, now this whole story is getting out of control. So let me pull back, let me rein it back in, and then let's start, we'll bring her back and we'll go from this avenue because you don't want to turn the reader off. And again, I get straight to the point. I don't use a lot of useless narration. The only author I've seen that can do that and bring you back is Stephen King J.K. Rowling.
Yes. Right.
You know, he can write a 500.
True.
Yeah. And something you missed, you know, 200 pages ago, he's going to bring back around. I'm like, I get to the point and pounce. My books are quick reads. Give you that quick escape. You get your drama. You'll feel a drama. You'll feel a suspense, the whodunit. And you like, woo, you get your tea, and then you can move on.
I know that's right. Let me ask you, how long did it take you to complete a book?
Most of the time, if I'm really in it, it'll take me about, and I'm letting the book write itself, about 6 to 9 months. I'm not one of those authors that's going to pump something out every 6 months. That's not me. I write it as it comes to me. The only thing different with a best laid plan, that took me 4 years because it was a therapeutic write for me, and I had to work while I was writing that book to get to where I could finish it, for lack of better words. I had to put it down because, okay, so we're talking about a sensitive issue here that hits close to home. So I had to deal with myself while I wrote the book. But now that it's finished, it was very therapeutic and cathartic for me.
Okay.
So that one took
years. Now, who inspired you to start writing?
I would share stories about, you know, my old neighborhood and growing up and experiences I had back in my 20s. And he was like, one experience in particular that had to do with Sunday Christians, he was like, you know, that needs to be a book because I know there's some men out there that have gone through what your friend went through, and they need to hear about this. He's like, I don't even read, but that sounds like a book. And he was like, well, why don't you do it while you going through what you going through, you know, instead of just being, you know, put your time in that. And I just was like, And I started writing, and then it started getting good. And I'm like, And believe it or not, Sunday Christians is very guy friendly. Every guy that's read the book was like, yes,
I think I gotta get your book. I gotta read it because it sounds very interesting. Now, for those who want to get any of your books, how can they get your books? Where can they go at?
Okay, I have my website, Novels by Jodea, NovelsByJodea.com, all one word. And my books are on sale. I also have book boxes. That's good gift ideas that we have. And we have different kinds of book boxes. It's everything to make your reading experience wonderful. We have holiday deals going on that website as well. We also have bundle deals. That's at novelsbyjodea.com. And also, if you want instant gratification, you want to get the paperback book in your hand, I'm at Urban Reads Bookstore in Baltimore, Maryland, on Greenmount Avenue. I'm also, if you can catch her, the I'm Book Box Mobile Book Boutique. It's the black and white van you may see going through D.C. I'm also at Next Chapter Books in Greensboro, North Carolina, W.E. Bookstore in Irvine, California. I have the whole list. It's also on my website on the first page. We have online bookstores, Riches in Reading, Wynn Publications Online, Urban Reads Bookstore. She's in Baltimore, but she also has online ordering. That's urbanreads.com, oururbanreads.com. And then, like I said, the full list is there on the front, the first page at Novels by Jodea. I'm on Instagram at Jodea Novels. On Instagram, I'm on Facebook at Novels by Jodea. We got a lot going on. I really like to work with independent bookstores. So if you're an independent bookstore and you're listening, come get at me. I want to represent my community. Right now, I'm doing, and along with this podcast tour, I'm also doing my public library book donation tour. I'm donating to area libraries in Central Virginia. I will be at the Richmond Main Lobby on the 18th of this month from 12 to 3. You can catch me there. I will be there. I will also be at Petersburg, Virginia Library this month through just doing donating to the community, the underserved libraries in underserved areas.
Now is all this on your website?
All of it's on the website, including our scholarship program that we are opening up in January. We will be giving away two book scholarships to two graduating seniors going to an HBCU. We're getting the word out. We're getting the word out. We got a lot going on, a lot coming up in January. Just keep an ear and an eye out for us.
Right.
But we're
Everybody, all about community service. Right. Everybody reach out to her. And before I let you go, could you just, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show, and you have to come back. Please friend me on Facebook, because I was trying to find you on Facebook, and I couldn't find you. So please.
Friend
me on Facebook. Before I let you go, could you just say your website one more time?
It is novelsbyjodea.com. If you want to just, you can Google me. You can just Google me and put in Novels by Jodea, J-O-D-A-E-A. You can put it in there. There's a link. If you go to Amazon.com and pull up my book, you can get to my website through there as well. Again, I'm on Instagram at Jodea Novels. I'm on Facebook at Novels by Jodea.
Okay, and I want to thank you so much before our time runs out. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show, and please come back. Please, and I want to thank all the audience that tuned in tonight. And please look her up, because she's doing some great things. I just want to say thank you again and good night, and enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and your Christmas. Enjoy.
You too, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
You too. Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good night.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Talk 2 podcast with author Sharnell Williams. Tune in next time every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to live, laugh, and love.